This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, this is the top story. And there's a few other things, like, I'll say it briefly. Paramount and TKO Group reached 7-year deal for all UFC events in the U.S. They will become the new home of all Ultimate Fighting Championship events in the U.S. under a 7-year agreement. The deal has an average annual value of $1.1 billion, the company said. Under the deal, Paramount will exclusively distribute the UFC's full slate of its marquee numbered events. I think there's 30 fight nights on its streaming platform, Paramount, with selected numbers events also set to simulcast on CBS starting in 2026. This is a game changer for the UFC, because the biggest complaint I've always had is, like, I don't do pay-per-view. I'm not going to buy. So I'm already spending enough, and the best fights to go see or to watch are their marquee events are pay-per-view events, and I just don't do that anymore. I used to watch pay-per-view events back in the day, but now that I'm paying out all of these different, you talk about this a lot, Michael, but all these different outlets, streaming options, I'm spending too much to pay another $100 to watch a fight. I'm not that interested in it anyway, but I might be if I can watch it easily.
Yeah, Paramount Plus is pretty cheap. Paramount Plus is one of the ones that I have. It doesn't have a lot of sports, though. It just has CBS and CBS Sports Network, from what I can tell. This is very big for them.
It's huge. But if they're going to simulcast some events on CBS, like just your local channels, more random people like me. Like, if I hear Brian and Tanner, because I know they're fight fans, they're talking about a big fight, I might go, I don't know. If nothing's on, I'll watch it. But I'm not going to pay $100 for it. I'll flip it on. And with the way gambling is going now, this is huge, man.
It's like really, really great for them. Like, not only can you, like, if you and I are there, you can watch that game, and I, on a different device, can watch Star Trek.
Sure. Well, no. What? We should start doing a new game. Over and under how many times Michael brings up Star Fights? What is it?
Star Trek.
Star Trek.
I'm just saying.
Like, is it a track? Like, are they in Saturn and they go around a track? Is that what it is? And they just, like, race or something? What is it about?
I mean, they do have Saturn in there a few episodes, but a lot of times they're just out of Sector 001.
That's enough of the Star Trek talk. Aaron says the first time Paramount decides to censor something on a UFC fight will be the last time I will watch a UFC fight on Paramount, says Aaron. I mean, the diehards might have an issue with it, maybe, if they censor stuff. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to.
They better not. Like, it's,
they better,
like,
not.
It's they do have that, like, a little asterisk. They have some kind of, like, non-bias.
Aaron, what would they censor? I don't watch UFC fights. What would they censor? I guess the guys at the end, when they talk and they get the microphone, they say whatever they want. Because I know there's guys that get political sometimes. There's guys that maybe curse. Is that what we're worried about? Or are you worried that they might, like, censor the actual fight part of it? I don't know. You tell me. I'm in uncharted territory on this stuff.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of those. It's on the internet, so they shouldn't have to censor anything. If it's on CBS and on Paramount Plus, they would have to watch some things. But as far, if it's just on Paramount Plus, as far as I know they don't have to do too much.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Outside of maybe embarrassing their company.
But shifting away from the pay-per-view model is where to go. I mean, you have to have the linear packages. And this is what I've talked about so much with where the Pac-12, they put all their money into the Pac-12 network. Yeah, they were on regular networks, but they believed that the streaming of their network was going to be the big deal, or paying separately just for that. You gotta be, it's as simple as this, guys. Can I press guide on my remote control and channel surf? Channel surfing is where I discovered most of my favorite stuff. You can't really channel surf. Like, open up Netflix. You gotta, if you wanna watch something, it might look good. You gotta click it, it's gotta load, gotta play it, whatever. It doesn't take that long. But then if you're like, I'm not really into this. You back out of it. Now I got to scroll down and find. It is, I'm telling you, pressing guide on your remote control, and just going through. Oh, Everybody Loves Raymond's on. I'm watching that. That's hilarious. It's way better than Seinfeld. Then it goes to a commercial break, and I'm like, all right, what else? Oh, crap. The Marlins are playing on MLB Network. Click that. Oh, it's a blowout. I watch for a second. Go away. Oh, there's a UFC fight on CBS right now. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. Wow, I'm kind of into it. That's why when we talk about the TV deals for the new Pac-12, that's vital. It's just vital. And you have to be on the main outlets, the CBSs, the Foxes, the ESPNs, all of that. And that's why that's such a big conversation. The money, obviously, but the money's there because the viewers are there. Right now, still, even though there's a lot of people that don't subscribe to Dish and DirecTV and all that stuff, I don't have numbers in front of me, Michael, but I would imagine that is still king of the castle. Now, you tell me. You're a streaming buff. Is streaming, like those collective groups, the Netflixes, the Apple TVs, all that stuff, are those getting better views, more views than what your regular, like, direct TVs are getting nowadays?
There's a reason why Conan O'Brien is no longer on TBS, and it's because cable TV is going away the way of broadcast TV.
But not necessarily for sports, though. Would you say that's a little different for sports?
It will be.
You think it will ultimately just all be pretty... Streaming is going to be... That's the bread and butter.
I believe that's going to happen. You see more and more streaming happening. The NFL's doing more and more games online. I think probably within the next 5 years, Universal, like Comcast, is just going to be... Internet. Maybe not the next 5 years, but they're going to go internet solely and cut the cable.
It's moved fast. And you're right. Being able to have both is the number one option right now. If you can have a streaming service or partner up with a streaming service and then still have chances to put your big stuff on your regular, your CBSs, whatever, that's huge.
What Pac-12, what provider did they...
Right now, they have the CBS... sports deal, and it's at least three games.
Okay, so
it's
you can get that on Paramount Plus. I don't know if you have to have a higher package, but that sports is on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, all right. Well, I want to get to this Pac-12 Mountain West thing, too, but we got to take a quick break. I got Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins, Good Morning NoCo is on it. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, joining me now, our Broncos insider, the Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos, Zach Stevens. Zach, my friend, I gotta ask this. Sean Payton says he's got like 14 things written down that he's ticked off about, and this isn't just about the players. This is a handful of items, including staff members, too. Any idea what those 14 things that he wrote down are?
Yeah, I mean, Brady, I feel bad for all the employees in the Broncos building because I know that he has his hand in everything. He holds himself to perfect, and he holds his players to that standard as well, and everyone in the organization. And this can range from things from PR to hotels to buses. So it expands way beyond just the football side of things. And he believes that just like the Broncos ownership believes, they want to be the best in everything, not just on the field, but as a business. And Sean is going to hold everyone accountable for that. So you got to think wide and far with what these could be in terms of the hotel accommodations, buses being on time, everything like that. And then it can also impact things on the field, like taping players and everything with that. So what I also thought when I heard that comment was, okay, if there's 14 things that he's pissed off at now, how many were there 2 years ago after he coached his first preseason game? Were there 250 things? And I truly would not be surprised if the list was that big, because remember, Sean Payton came in here with the Broncos ownership group, and they didn't just redo what was on the field. In order to get the field better, they had to rework the entire organization. So it's a reminder to me as well just how far this Broncos team truly has come. And clearly, Sean Payton put expectations of the Super Bowl on this team last week, so he's going to expect Super Bowl expectations from everyone in this organization, Brady.
Well, and on that note, talking about what we saw on the field, ultimately the Broncos win 30-9. It's a preseason game. We don't really care about the score, whatever. But the first unit offensively, not as sharp as you would like to see, Zach. Any cause for concern in your mind, or is this just ironing things out? Just getting on the field, doesn't matter if it's pretty, we just need to get guys comfortable. Also on that same note, Sean Payton demands excellence all the time. So how's he viewing the performance, especially by the first string offense?
Well, and Brady, you kind of have to view this through the lens of Sean Payton. He went out last week, 8 days ago, 6 days before the preseason game, and went on record many times saying that this team has a chance to win a Super Bowl. So I believe in Sean Payton. He's a great coach, and I follow what he says. And so if he put those expectations on this team, then I'm going to hold this team to those expectations. That's why it was a little bit concerning. Now, is it smashing the panic button concerning? Absolutely not. I take this with a grain of salt, but I can't watch an entire preseason game and say, none of it matters, because if Bo Nix would have gone out and he would have been perfect and had a couple of touchdowns, everyone would be saying, oh, man, Bo's great. They would have been reading into it. So I'm going to read into this just a tiny bit, a grain of salt, and say there were some concerning things. Cortland Sutton has to catch that pass from Bo. If he catches that pass from Bo and everything else goes the way it did in this game, we're probably looking at Bo Nix leading a touchdown drive, and Bo Nix actually, his stats looking a lot better than they did, despite other areas that he can still get better in. And that's just Cortland missing that pass. The safety, I don't know how that check isn't made at the line, whether that's on the offensive line, whether that's on Bo, whether that's on the running back. It was so obvious that a blitzer was coming. That has to be picked up. That's inexcusable once the regular season comes around. So am I pressing the panic button? No. But did I love what I saw from the first team offense? Of course not. No. Now, there were some positives from the offense, not really the first team offense, but from other parts of the offense. Like, I did like what I saw from the depth in the running back room. I did like what I saw from the depth in the receiver room, specifically Troy Franklin and Pat Bryant. So there were positives to take away from this, but with the first team, it is a little tough to look at.
Yeah, it is. And you're 100% right. We do this every year. Good or bad, you just have to pump the brakes a little bit. Now, if you start to see it as a trend, even in the preseason, then that's when you really get worried, I guess. But we don't really know a ton until we actually get to the regular season. I got one for you, Zach. So we're excited about Evan Engram and what he's doing, and you've tweeted about it, what he's doing in camp. Cortland Sutton, we believe he's still going to have a great year. I think he's going to have a really good year, even with that dropped pass the other day. Who is the second receiver, third option? Who is that guy going to be? Who do you think is going to be the guy that emerges as that dude?
I think later in the season, we're going to be looking at Pat Bryant as that guy. I think earlier there's going to be more of a rotation, and I think Troy Franklin has done everything necessary to get that spot right now. I also think Marvin Mims, look, he can't be slept on. We can't forget him. Right now, it is Marvin Mims. Troy Franklin has an opportunity, will have an opportunity to push him, but Marvin Mims has the trust of the Broncos coaches and of the Broncos quarterbacks, where he will be that guy come week one. But Troy Franklin has an opportunity to push him. And Pat Bryant, man, I mean, he impressed me in the preseason game, but he has impressed me so much in training camp as well, where he cannot be written off when the end of the season comes around. And Brady, the fascinating thing, it seems like the Broncos receiving room is set in terms of who's going to make the roster. It feels like they have six guys, and it's a pretty solidified six guys. What's interesting is a lot of teams typically give jerseys to five receivers on game day. So one guy won't have a jersey. And that is going to be a very difficult decision for the Broncos. And crazy enough, right now, the guy that's probably not getting a jersey, if you'd have to decide right now, week one, is Devon Vaile. And he was arguably the Broncos' second most reliable target last year outside of Cortland Sutton. I really like Devon Vaile, but just with the way this group has emerged, and Devon's been just a little bit slower this year than he was last year in terms of his progression, he might be the odd man out, which is just crazy. That just shows you how deep the Broncos might not have not feel comfortable about a true number two right now, but they are very deep.
Yeah, Zach Stevens joining us, DNVR Broncos. I know you got to run. One more for you, and it's contract related. When are we going to get this Nick Benito thing done? When are we going to get him locked up so we can stop talking about it? Because this guy, I know it's preseason, but carrying off of last year to this, he's just absolutely on fire.
Yeah, they should have got it done probably last Friday, Brady, yes. Because you're absolutely right. I don't think this game changes the price of Nick Benito's extension, but I do think it could increase the urgency in which to get it done. There's no reason to let this Nick Benito talk go into the regular season, especially, Brady, when you view who the Broncos' first two opponents are. Cam Ward with a struggling offensive line from last year. You have a rookie quarterback week one in Denver. They could get after Cam Ward and sack him seven times. Nick Benito could have three sacks in week one. Then you turn around and you face Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones with the Colts. You could have Nick Benito could have five sacks after the first 2 weeks of the season. And if that's throwing out the idea of a four-year, $100 million contract, in my opinion, and he's saying, I want $35 million a year, just pay him. We know Nick Benito is the truth. He is this guy that you saw last year. He proved it again this preseason. So give him the deal. I think if you offer him 4 years, $100 million, $70 million guaranteed, the deal is signed right away. Don't let it go into the season and have his value go $10 million more potentially.
Yeah, no question. 100% agree with you. Get the guy taken care of. Zach, appreciate you, man. Maybe we'll reach out at the end of this week, kind of see what you're up to. I know you have to roll, so we'll let you go, my friend, but appreciate it as always.
Love being on. Thanks for having me, Brady.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Had to go quick there. He only had a couple of minutes for me today. They're going. It's the time of year, man. You hit August. You get these insiders on, they got time for a 10-minute hit, and then bam, they got to go to the next thing. But yeah, the Nick Benito thing, I know it's just a preseason game tacked on to it, but every time he's out there, he's just increasing his value. That was interesting, too, about Devon Vaile. Yeah, one reception for 6 yards. This is a fairly big name we talked about last year, maybe being a guy that could step up. It's a young dude, but he's had some interesting ones. I mean, last year, there was a question. He didn't show up to camp one day, and it was like, what's going on? And Sean kind of wrote it off as nothing. And then it happened again this year. I'm not so sure. But that's interesting that Zach brought him up. But also the guy I've been high on, too, just everything we're reading and then what we saw on Saturday, Pat Bryant. Now, two receptions for 21 yards, but I do think that he might be the guy. Troy Franklin is that lightning rod. And if he can really establish that connection with Bo, look out. But that's the big question around this team. It's not about the defense. I mean, I fully expect this defense to be, if they can stay healthy, better than last year. But offensively, how do they do in the run game? Who are the weapons for Bo Nix? There was a big conversation that we had before the draft. Okay, now what do you do with a young quarterback who just had a pretty good rookie year? You give him weapons. And the Broncos chose not to do that, at least with the first round. Instead, they get Jahdae Barron, who we believe is going to be an awesome cornerback for this team, to add to what we're already getting with Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss. But they chose not to go with a weapon in the first round. They did get Evan Engram in the offseason, which was big. But that is my only concern about Denver being able to compete with the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Bills. And I think the Bengals are going to be up there too.
Okay, my argument against them not getting a weapon for him is that defense is itself a weapon. The defense keeping the game close takes a lot of pressure off the offense. So if you have like a 13-7 game and you're only up by six or you're only down by six, not a lot of pressure.
Do you think Sean Payton's going to turn Bo Nix into like a game manager? Like more of a, hey, just don't make a lot of the risky throws. You know, you don't need to be one of those guys that's, you know, doing what Patrick Mahomes does. I mean, Peyton's talking so highly of him. He says in the next few years, Bo's going to be top four, top five quarterback in the league. That's saying something. That puts you up in that tier one conversation that we love to have. But what you just said makes me go, okay, if you have this great of a defense, you can't take a lot of risks that Patrick Mahomes can take, that Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen can take. They can throw it down there, and you know they're going to deliver, even if they make bad throws, bad plays, throw an interception here and there. They're still going to deliver. They're still going to have a huge stat line. But for Denver, it's going to be, hey, don't turn it over. We're probably going to win a lot of football games just on our defense.
Yeah, but you still want to score over 20 points a game. You don't want to go, well, the defense, we've shut them out once again. All we need to do is put 4 or 5 field goals on the board. We're good.
Yeah, I do think this running game, this rushing attack is going to be better. I'm excited. I think R.J. Harvey, I know 7 carries, 25 yards. He averaged 3.6 yards per carry. I know that's not like, oh my gosh. Just something about why. I thought Audric Estime ran hard too. He had 8 carries for 21 yards. Again, a bad average there. Tyler Bidet.
Did you see him hold on to the ball?
There's something weird with Estime though. I don't know if it's all good with him and Peyton. I don't know, because that was supposed to be the guy, and then he fell out of favor last year. He was supposed to be the up and coming guy, but yeah, fumbles. He had some injuries.
His position away.
He probably did. Yeah, but I do think that group's going to be, and I think that's just so key. The big key was the fact that I'm worried more about who's the second receiver means that they address the major issues on offense. The major issues, running back and tight end. They addressed it both in free agency and the draft. So I think that's a good thing. I don't know if this offense is going to light the world on fire. I think you're right. Defensively, they're going to hold teams under the 20-point mark, which makes you pretty damn good. They're gonna keep teams into the teens. I mean, you look at the preseason game, 9 points. They had 9 in the first and didn't score again. And I know it's second unit, all that stuff, but they have all the makings of being a superior defense this year, maybe even more so than what they were last year. Just a few tweaks. We'll see how this plays out for the next preseason game for Denver. Denver will play Arizona on the what is that? Is that a Saturday game? Yeah, Saturday, 7:30 on NFL Network. So look, I'm curious to see how long Bo Nix will play in that game. I mean, every team handles the preseason differently now. It's not as scripted as it used to be, where we kind of knew first game you see a little bit, second game you see a little bit. Third game is where you see like the dress rehearsal, right? They play a first half, maybe even come out of the locker room, play it after halftime, just to kind of get that feel going. And well, now there's 3 games, plus I think more coaches have put less emphasis on the preseason than they have before. And I think that's a domino effect. There's a lot of people that just don't mess with it as much. 33 minutes after the hour, I'll respond to some of your texts on the UFC thing. Plus, the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, the legal battles continue. A new wrinkle thrown in. We'll get to that one coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, this legal battle between the Mountain West and the Pac-12, which... there's already a fight going on around the poaching and exit fees, and that's still not resolved. So now add another thing to it, and Colorado State leading, you know, right there with a couple of teams in this. CSU and two other departing schools that are going to be in the Pac-12 next season, this is their last year in the Mountain West, filed a lawsuit on the 7th of August, claiming the Mountain West is improperly withholding millions of dollars. The money in dispute includes money earned by Boise State for making the college football playoffs. This is the statement. The law firm O'Melveny said in a news release, the Mountain West is currently withholding millions due to the departing schools from the NCAA, including NCAA grant in aid, and other money specifically designed to promote academic programs and student-athlete well-being. The complaint was filed by this law firm on behalf of CSU, Boise State, and Utah State. It's interesting because Boise State's the reason they got all that money, and they're withholding the money that Boise State brought into the conference? I don't know. Kevin Lytle put a story together in the Coloradoan a few days ago, and I want to get into that with him. He'll be back on with us later this week. You have that, but then you also have in this filing highlighting the addition of Grand Canyon University for this season. They were originally supposed to join on July 1st, 2026, which is when the CSUs and the Boise States and the Utah States are leaving the Mountain West. That was supposed to be the plan. The Mountain West said, you know what, screw it. Let's just get them in now. Start establishing them now. In the Mountain West, like there are pros and cons to that. For the Mountain West, it's good to get them going as soon as possible. Get Grand Canyon. Hey, if Grand Canyon can pull off some upsets against the departing schools, that's going to look great for the Mountain West Conference. Start establishing them now while the conference is so big. But for the departing schools or even the schools that are in the Mountain West, like now that's adding a few more games to the schedule that you didn't plan for, a few more trips that you didn't plan for. That you can see why is perceived as a negative. So here's that part of the release. It says, quote, the Mountain West and Commissioner Navarro has repeatedly misrepresented their intentions regarding the admission of Grand Canyon University for the 25-26 season and purposefully delayed any formal vote on the issue until after the departing schools delivered their notices of resignation from the conference. This is a sticky issue, man, because on one hand, you're still in the conference. You still signed, they were signed up to stay with you through this season. They should still be treated exactly like the rest of the teams in the conference. But then again, my mind kind of goes to, you guys are bailing on us. This could be the end of the Mountain West Conference because of you leaving us. Why would we... now, again, you got to do everything legally. But why would we care about adding Grand Canyon and how that's going to affect you when you're not going to think about us at all this time next year? Who's right? The Mountain West or the Pac-12? I mean, if there's verbiage in your contracts that are signed, and it's like, hey, when we add a new team, every Mountain West school has to vote on it, and then you didn't include the departing teams. Yeah, I mean, if you're just not going by those contracts, but it seems like the Pac-12's not going by theirs either. We're not going to poach. You know, there was language in that contract of, you know, not trying to get and entice existing members of the Mountain West to go join you in your Pac-12, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, you got CSU is, again, they're mentioned a lot in this. They've filed the lawsuit against the Mountain West over the exit fees as well. So you got that on top of the Grand Canyon story, on top of withholding funds from the rest of the team, from the exiting teams. It's weird, man. Big Hub says, you have a point, but it's still their money, and they're still in the conference this year. That's more of a hurt feelings move than a business move. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there has to be something written down that's like, as long as you are an existing member of this conference, you get all the same stuff that these other teams get, whether or not you're leaving in a year or not. This thing has gotten so strange. And again, the filing is about the money that Boise State brought in for going to the college football playoffs. And Boise State, along with CSU and was it Utah State, are the teams mentioned here that are filing the complaint. So you mean, am I being led to believe that Boise State's not getting a share of the money that they brought in by going to the college football playoff? Because why else would they be involved in this lawsuit? I don't know if this is going to go anywhere anytime soon. They've been in mediation over the exit fees for months now with no resolution in sight. And the leagues have asked for a hearing in September. So this is going to push out a little bit further. This thing turned ugly. I mean, you knew it would. If in the original contract, the Pac-12, because when the Pac-12 came to the Mountain West, they needed games, right? Because they had two teams still today. As of right now, they have two teams, and I know the Mountain West schools will be there next year. But they needed a scheduling partner. So Oregon State and Washington State needed to find teams to play. Worked out a deal with the Mountain West. And part of that deal was like, hey, you can't be poaching our teams. And if you do, then you got to pay an extra fee on top of the predetermined exit fee, which all conferences have. If you leave our conference, you have to pay. But they're trying to tack more onto that. And I don't have it in front of me, but if you went back and looked at the verbiage of the initial contract, the Mountain West was like, we know what you're going to try to do. So if you do that, then you owe us money. And now these schools are fighting that. So I do honestly, and I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion for CSU, and I like talking CSU and love what John Weber's doing over there. I don't fault them for saying, hey, we're part of the conference and you're holding out money from what we're bringing to the table. But I still feel like the Mountain West is kind of, you left us and we got to take care of our conference because we might not have a conference. I know this is like, I love the Mountain West and I will still love the Mountain West. I'll still talk Mountain West. But even the biggest diehard fans of the Wyomings and the Air Forces, the teams that are staying, you can't deny that the Boise States and CSU's leaving hurts you. So you have to do everything in your power right now to stay alive for the foreseeable future. Go Pokes texting in. There's one of our diehard Cowboys fans right now. The issue is, who owes what? Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm reading Kevin's article in the Coloradoan, and I think more details are coming out because they're pretty buttoned up about this. But who is owned what? Now, clearly, if Boise State is involved in the complaint that was filed, then that would just, again, lead me to believe that Boise State thinks they're owed money that they haven't seen yet from what they brought to the table by going to the college football playoffs. And then CSU and Utah State. Why are the rest of the schools not involved? Why is it just these three? Are the other schools playing nice and saying, hey, we left because of whatever? I don't know. But it is odd to me that it's not every team involved in this. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Aaron texting in, didn't the original Pac-12 try these tactics with the departing members the first time around? Michael, I don't know. Did that happen with when everyone was trying to leave them? When the CUs and everybody?
That I'm not sure. I know there was a big controversy originally when USC and UCLA left. And then when Washington and Oregon left, I think that everybody knew, oh, it's that the end of the world as we know it.
That was weird. That was tough. Because it was, oh, we're all together. We're not going anywhere. And then, boom, there's one. Oh, there's another one. Oregon State and Washington State were kind of considered the little engines that could, kind of the adorable story. They're staying together. They had their own media day because it was just the two teams. And now they're kind of coming out with Teresa Gold, like they kind of look like jerks a little bit. But again, I can see both sides. I really can. 12:49 the time. We got to take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Shedeur Sanders, is he going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? We'll get to that. We got buy or sell coming up. And opponent preview time. Broncos take on the Tennessee Titans week one of the regular season. How are they winning it? And are they winning it? I'll tell you why and how coming up later on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Bring out your dangerous
one. What's next for the Colorado Rockies?
Better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Keep it on Northern Colorado's home for Rockies games and discussions.
I feel fine.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, it's true. It does seem like CSU's in the news a lot. It does seem like CSU's kind of always at the top of the lawsuit stuff going forward. Is that like John Weber, Amy Parsons? I mean, it's a lot more than just one or two people. And here's where I'll go positive, because Big Hub says, I feel like CSU is always in the news, and it's everything but football, even when I was there. Last year, if you remember, the big thing was Jay Norvell talking about poaching and Braden Fowler, Nicolosi, to name a few, actually naming a school that was poaching in K-State, trying to get BFN for $600,000. I guess it's still kind of on the field player, but that was a big story. Everyone was talking about that. And then you had the viral video of, you know, BFN and Horton talking about CU and all that, which was recorded a month before the season started, but it was made to look like it was right before the season in a game where Torrey Horton really was hurt and wasn't going to ultimately play very much. Then this is another thing added on. But I'll say this on the positive. This is not Joe Parker. Joe Parker, I liked him, nice guy. But the belief around there was very much like he's kind of more waiting for something to happen instead of doing something. And it seems like that's the opposite with what's happened ever since John. Now my question is, John Weber's came in guns a-blazing. A lot of energy to try to help this program and push, because there is a sense of urgency. If college football really goes crazy and you ultimately do just have two monster conferences, teams are going to get left out. And right now, I think it's fair to say CSU is a maybe. So they have to get going. They have to get aggressive. And we'll see. We'll see how this new Pac-12 works out. And I got another text about the networks. With all these deals going down with the SEC and stuff, where's the room for the Pac-12s and the Mountain Wests of the world? Can't we all kind of see the writing on the wall, unfortunately? Buy or sell, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.